Blog Talk Radio.
Turned it down a little so you guys can hear me. But this is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. The instrumental that you are hearing is called The Vampire Queen, and it's being played by none other than the poet, the prophet, I noticed on the board that it was already getting some comments. Great, great background music. And I just want to say that A Team of Voices is a writing group, chat group, radio group that hangs out at allpoetry.com. And allpoetry.com is a site, one of the biggest, where you can hang out and write poetry, and it's free to join. If you join or are a member, look us up under the group tabs, A Team of Voices, and I'll meet you at the door. If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, 1-646-668-2837. And you can call and participate, or you can hang in the chat room and click on the links that we put up for each poem that you'll hear and follow along with us. And we have fun night after night, week after week, and would love to hear from you. And on that note, I will let some of the people in that are hanging out in the studio. I had to mute my big brother because I could hear a lot of noise. Heather!
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. Pretty awesome music to start there today, huh?
You know, it's got a good beat, but it's a little hard to dance to.
That's true. But it's funky. It's really good. I wish I could play. Wow. Okay, so let's see who's here. We have Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life right behind the Hatter. And I say welcome, the two of you. Glad you're here.
Hello. I was dancing like sprockets.
Were you really? Interesting. I'll have to try to visualize that. And right behind the dynamic duo just happens to be the person playing that amazing little ditty that we just listened to, the Vampire Queen, none other than Mr. David Prophet. Hey, Dave, glad you're here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, too. Thank you, Deb.
Appreciate the tunes.
Thanks
to start
for playing.
The show off.
I loved it.
It was awesome.
Yeah, we're using a violin bow.
And I see out in the chat room at the moment, it's Heavenly Angel and Poetic Picasso. Hi, Angel. Hi, Frank. Good to see you. And as I just said to Stephen a minute ago, how about them Browns last night? What a game. I was like, I kept on looking and like, you know, wow. And then tonight, I got the Game 3 of the World Series on, and the Phillies are, like, kicking butt and taking names at 7-0. The Eagles are 7-0. It's like something in the water in Philly. Spilling over into Ohio, so, like, go teams. But I know that our dear heart Kay has not been feeling well and probably wants to hit and run and continue to take care of herself. So I'm just moseying on over here, and I'm going to grab her poem, and we are going to get this show underway. All right, so there is the poem.
Okay. Okay, I call this Death Publication of Discovery. We're in the pitch of night when this open house fan never washes clean. Inky infernal fables, fields, tuxedos, abandonment, a green, black, and what slides off flesh, blistered and blistered palace, top moon, scales of gray in opposition, clothed morning, burned from the root as black acres whisper. Grains, sketch of sooty stoplights meets confinement unguarded. Death's keynote hymn, silences, rest, light, and tone.
Whoa. Wow, wow. I don't even know which one to grab. Yeah, I do. I'm going to start near the end there. Burn from the root as a Black Acres Whisper. Scary thoughts there, Black Acres Whisper. Back towards the beginning, window soaping halcyon mists never washes clean. And wow, what a metaphor, window soaping halcyon. Sometimes I am in such awe of the metaphors there. But the thought of soaping and then never being able to wash it clean, which totally takes away any kind of fun that might have come with it because, you know, they put soap on the window, it washes off. But the soaping that never comes clean, it might as well be a scar. You can't take it away. A green, black in what slides off flesh, blistered and blistered. I mean, whoa, the graphic darkness, the pain, the visuals, the death keynote hymns, silences, breaths, light. It's like the darkness just finally took over. There's nothing left. The silence, breeze, light. What did I say? Anyway, breaths, silence, breaths. I mean, wow. This is really deep darkness, Kay. And Death's Publications of Discovery. I really love the title. Powerful brevity, start to finish. Impressive.
Thank you.
Let me get you. Oh, first, let me pick up the line and let Linda in. Liquid Damage, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Good to hear your voice.
How is everybody?
You sound delightful, Ba.
Yeah, I'm awake.
And I'm just about to get some comments for Kay. I'm not sure when you got here, so I don't know if you got to hear her poem.
Yeah, I heard half of it, and I kind of looked over the beginning of it. Nicely done, Kay. I thought it was exquisitely dark and foreboding. The imagery in this piece is piercing, and I think it was really nicely written. Really nice flow to it, dark and scary and ominous. But you did a great job. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And I noticed that it's a front page pick as well. Congratulations on that, Kay. Hatter, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, very, very good. One question, of course, that everybody's on everybody's mind, I hope. What's toponyms? Toponyms?
Toponym. That's basically just speaking about geographical places.
Oh, okay. Oh, topographical. Toponyms, okay. Skills of great multiposition. Yeah. How do you like writing in the brevity? Is it getting easier? Are you comfortable with it? Because it's a big jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. When you build these things, do you find yourself throwing some lines out, or are you adding constantly?
Well, it depends, because a lot of my stuff actually starts on paper, and then it usually changes before it comes here. So a lot of
times. Yeah, I had a big trouble doing brevity when I was doing longer ones. It seemed like I was the only one struggling. That's why I ask. But good job. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment. And by the way, Kay, your voice sounds way better. I'm glad. David, did you want to comment for Kay, please?
Yeah, I did. I do. Boy, I learned some new words in this one. My question mirrors what Hatter said. I didn't know what a toponym was, so I just looked it up. That's cool. You never cease to amaze me with your metaphors and the words that you use. I don't know where you get them, but they're sure cool. And yet, I like the way you use them, too. They're really descriptive. Grain sketches, sooty stoplights, neat consignments, unguarded. I like that line. This whole thing is really, really dark and gloomy and scary, all mixed up into one wonderful work of brevity here. Gee whiz. You're just getting to be way too good, Kay. I love your work. It's always fun to read, and you always surprise all of us, I think. I think I could speak for everybody about that. So anyhow, well done. Just an excellent poem, and congratulations on your front page pick. I know that's a big deal for me, and I bet it is for you too. So well done.
Great comment, David. And Stephen, will you comment for your lovely wife and then tell us what's happening over at A Poetic Slice of Life, please?
Sure. Well, yeah, I do like this one a lot, hon. It's very, very dark. I do like the voice line. I read your author's notes before I wrote my comment, and I said it's amazing where the muse could go during our little drives. Some of the imagery in this taken from one of our Sunday drives, that you call them.
Yeah.
The only one I could think of was when we took the wrong turn down the dead-end road, and I said, look at that house. That's right out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know if that was it or not, but this is
cool. Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
Yeah, right? Cool comment.
All right. Poetic Slice of Life. We only have one more show this week. And that is the Poetic Inklings, and it's been moved from Wednesday to Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is our featured artist of the year, Lisa DeSato. Mm-hmm. He's got some more beautiful paintings from that artist to write to, pick them out. And once again, that's 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. She's a very interesting artist. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of Kay brings for the year for this one. But anyhow, take us away, Stephen.
I really had a hard time choosing which of the pictures to take, but I finally settled on this one. And I brought a little bit of a dark Irish legend into it as well. And I call this, Even the Devil Should Watch His Back When Dealing with Stingy Jack. Gaffed archfiend silver pinned to the cross in parsimony's threadbare pocket, or trapped up in an apple tree with carving of a pious locket, too sullied for blue skies above while peaked the hellfires below, glowing gourd upon the head gravely roving through the woodland slow. End poem.
Ooh. Let's see here. I like the parsimony's threadbare pockets, or trapped up in apple tree with carvings of a pious locket. Cute little brevity there on the end, but peaked the hell fires below. I think that's an amazing expression there. And I even giggled a little on the glowing gourd because it was just, you know, clever. Let me see here. No way. Four lines? Come on, Stephen. Four lines got a 10? Oh, my word. How impressive is that? Wow. Wow. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. That's impressive. Four lines. My. You are really showing off there, Stephen. This is cool. I like the details. I like where you took it, and I especially like that glowing gourd. Not just congratulations on the 10, congratulations on a 4 line. And you've got, wait, you have 10 4 line 10s? Oh, man. That's really awesome. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. And your title's really fun. Even the Devil Should Watch His Back When Dealing with Stingy Jack. I like his name. I like that you gave him a little story. And I'm just overly impressed with the 4 line 10s, 10 of them. Bravo, sir. Wow. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what you think of that?
Yeah, Stingy Jack. Yeah, the glowing gourd. That's the line there for the whole poem. Yeah, what a short. You would cave tested your brevity. I can write shorter than you can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, this is well done, man. You guys hanging around the right crowd, man. You're good.
Right?
Yeah.
Man, oh man. Awesome comment, Hatter. And David, what do you think?
Oh, this was really cool. I got a kick out of the title when I saw it in the list. That's got to be Stephen. That's got to be him. I like the name Stingy Jack too. That's cool. I think you guys are. I think you and Kay both are dipping into the magic pot of poetry, because the poetry you guys are turning out is just blowing me away. You know, this is really good. I liked it. I like that last threadbare pocket. I like that on the tail end of the first line there. too solid for blue skies above white peaked above wild peaked the hellfires below. Man.
This is really good.
Yeah. And nice job on the 10, too, by the way.
Thank you, Dave.
Fabulous comment. And before I get to the next one, we have some more fellow poets in the studio. We have Poetic Picasso. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, everyone. Hello there, myself.
Hey,
good day.
Good to hear you. And right behind Frank, we have Sky Darkholm. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Yeah. Hi, Sky.
Hi.
And right behind Sky, we have none other than my sweet pea, my amazing board member, Sweet Pea. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
On the run.
And we just got done listening to Stephen read his four-line poem that scored a 10, and I'm getting comments for him. David, will you comment for Stephen, please? David, are you muted?
David, just finished commenting.
I'm sorry, what was that?
So Dave just finished commenting for me, and he is so muted.
Sorry about that. Okay, how about Linda, please?
Yeah, that was awesome, Stephen. I mean, four lines, my God, how you actually went from start to finish with a whole bunch of information in between is amazing. But I thought it was very nicely descriptive. The imagery rocked. And it evoked terror in the end, which is what I liked. Glowing gourd up on the head, gravely roving through the woodland slow. That just is very creepy, which is hard to do. I mean, I wrote some gross stuff in my poem, but I don't know if it was creepy, and creepy is good. So take that as a compliment. Very well written, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome,
awesome
Stephen.
Awesome comment. And Frank, did you hear Stephen's poem?
Yes. Hold on.
Would you like to comment, please?
Yes, I'm sorry, I just had to cough there. Yes, by all means, I am also impressed by the fact that he has so much imagery in such a brief poem. You know, the way you thread, if I can use the word thread, where you thread in your metaphors of this piece here really brings up a lot of what Hatta was saying about the character itself. I'm not familiarized with Stingy Jack, but now I'm interested. I'm fascinated to know more about him. You definitely brought him in, and you brought the elements of what I understood so far of what's the legend of Stingy Jack. You also gave it your own creativity. I know you from what you write, you always bring the narrative, but you also bring your tidbits of what you throw in from the narratives there. That, so I thought in that degree you did a fantastic job of this poem. I agree, this is really mind-blowing for such a brief poem.
Thank you, Frank. Good to hear you.
Well, it's good to be on when I can, my friend. Mostly off to do with issues I'm having at the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, it's been a little while, but I'm really glad that you were able to call. And
yeah, I can call for a bit and hang out for a bit.
Cool. Okay. And Sweet has to go, so hers is on the board. But let me get Kay to comment for Stephen first, please.
Well, yeah, I like the way this reads because I kind of got a little silly with my comment, and I said, I bet he didn't bet the devil his head or else he'd be turned into dog food. There's more to the one example story.
Yes.
He was a betting man who lost even in death because his friend sold him for dog food so he couldn't afford to pay the funeral expenses. So, yeah.
Talk about extreme. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you both, and I'm sure that you need to continue to recuperate, Kay. So I just want to say love and respect, and I will see you at your next show. And I have a quick question, though. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say really quickly before they go, Stephen and Kay, it's always great to hear both of you. And Kay, I hope you get better there. I consider both of you friends as well.
Thank you.
You as well, sir.
Take care. Yeah. Take care, my friend.
Cool. Thank you, guys. And, I know what I was going to say. But before you read, Sweet, Sky, do you have a poem?
Nope, I am just here to hang out with you for a little while because I had some time and I just wanted, and I haven't been on very much, so I just wanted to say hi and listen to some poems and comments, if that's okay.
That's
sweet. Oh, no, that's fantastic. Oh, nice. And if you wouldn't mind, after Sweet reads, you could take a peek at Angel's poem for me and be her reader. That would be fantastic. But in the meantime, Sweet, show us what you got.
Okay, if you would please put the picture you gave me up, because unfortunately I just got home from Wyoming. I've been traveling the last couple of days. I did not get it on top of my poem. I just haven't had a second to do it because it is the greatest picture ever. And if you could put that up on the board, I would greatly appreciate it. Is that the picture
sure
I got to write to?
I sure can. As soon as I is this the Hatter one? Okay, yes, I'll get
yes,
that
yes,
while
yes.
you... Show us what you got. I'll have it up in just a second.
Okay. Thank you. So this is the pumpkin screeched. Fall set in, and the golden tones sang in the warmth of yellow. As the sun lay down to rest, the skies turned to shades of red yellow, and a madman in a hat sat and drank his tea, feeling marshmallow mellow. The beetles and the ladybugs jumped about, disturbing his peace. For on the ground at the Mad Hatter's feet, a pumpkin began to screech. Through burnt orange skin and broken teeth, he cried so hard to speak. Come and hurry, sir, a shadow formed without the moon's shine, and whispered evil things. It walked among our tangled vines, struck a match in the pumpkin patch, destroying the best bloodlines. The pumpkin had rolled ahead to tell his tale of woe. He was too weak to roll again, and his eyes lost their yellow glow. He would be queen's pumpkin spice, when it began to snow. Now Hatter was befuddled by the squash's death. He marched towards the pumpkin patch, trying to catch his breath. Flames in crimson and gold glowed in the aftermath of death. In a gravel growl, the unshadow spoke his name in vain, as embers from the ash of squash set the Mad Hatter's hat in flames. I come to take wonder from the Wonderland's famous brain. Mad Hatter's zombie eyes never saw the next sunrise. The unshadow laughed and smiled at all that he brutalized, until the bells of time did toll when Shadow's face was surprised. As a zombie, Hatter woke, for in the land of wonder, never bring the end of times, and a land where TikToks never spoke. Take heed, you will die at the hands of unmidnight 12 chimes stroke and poem.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So, for starters, sweet, I could hear the grin in your voice while you were reading this. And I want to try to hurry up so that I can let Hatter comment, because, like, when you, the beetles and the ladybugs jumped about, disturbing his peace, for on the ground at the Mad Hatter's feet, a pumpkin began to screech. Through burnt orange skin and broken teeth, he tried so hard to speak. Well, my thing is, if some pumpkin tried to start talking to me, I would have been beating feet so fast that, you know, by the time he found a way to speak, I would have been hopefully long gone, because that would have spooked me. The pumpkin had rolled ahead to tell him his tale of woe. I mean, okay, there's a visual. In the gravel growl, the unshadow spoke his name in vain. The unshadow. Ooh, I really like that. That's pretty wicked. What else? As a zombie, Hatter woke. For the in the land of wonder, never bring the end of times in lands where TikToks never spoke. I have to laugh there, because as a zombie he woke. You got to wonder what it was that influenced his thinking there. Ha ha. But no, this is really cool, and I couldn't wait to see where you were going to go when you chose your art. Because, I mean, for some reason, I thought you might have went with that redhead with the bloody heart in her hand, but I know you couldn't pass the chance to write for Hatter, so brilliant as always. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, zombie-ized. There you go. Yeah, and befuddled. I was also befuddled by the squash's befuddled death. This is very, very clever, man. I like the squash's death. You know, the play on words. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been zombie-dized. That made put a smile on it, and Shadow laugh. All that he brutalized. So how did I get zombie? How did I become a zombie again? I missed that chapter.
The shadow made you a zombie. He took away the I came to take the wonder from Wonderland's famous brain.
I had his hat in flames, the damn thing. Yeah, and my hat in flames. Mm-hmm. Come to take the wonder from Wonderland's famous brain. And that's mine, right?
Yes. At you.
Okay. Thank you. It's been a while.
You're welcome. Awesome comment. I see that our dynamic duo is still here. Is Kay still here?
Yeah.
Comment, please.
I like the line, feeling marshmallow mellow. That's mm-hmm. pretty cool. But, yeah, it takes a dark turn in saying that the Mad Hatter zombie-dies. Never saw them at some men to the mother blood moon being destroyed. It really is a journey into the game. They are the people given and artistically satisfying in the designs of death.
Thank you, Kay, very, very much.
Great comment. Thank you, Kay. And Stephen, what do you think?
Yes, first I have to do my best imitation of Rick talking to his son, Paul.
Coral!
Okay, this is a... Walking Dead comes to Wonderland. You know, it was bound to happen sooner or later. The way they wander around, sooner or later they'd have fell down a rabbit hole. But I am eating this dense curry, just like I would have baked that freaking pumpkin in a pie and fell down. This is a great right there. So.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much, and appreciate you both. And let's see. Sky, will you comment for sweet?
Yeah, I thought this was so much fun. Such cleverness. I just, the Beatles and the ladybugs jumped out, disturbing his peace. I could really, those little details really made this pop out. And then you had, total, October-themed things in here, which is really cool, too, with the pumpkin. And then, of course, the Queen's pumpkin spice. When it began to snow, kind of had it even change in the season. There's a lot of work that went into this. I think the subtleties and the story overall is what people, they're grasping, but there's so many small nuances that are so beautiful. Unshadow spoke his name. I liked that too. I mean, it was magical. It was fun and very clever and wonderfully worded.
Well, thank you, dear. Miss Sky.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get one from Linda?
I first want to get Marshmallow Mellow as well. I think I've been there a couple of times, but that is such a cool phrase. And befuddled is one of my favorite words. You couldn't have picked a better word. And the way you used it, now Hatter was befuddled by the squash's death. He marched toward the pumpkin patch trying to catch his breath. Flames in crimson and gold glowed in the aftermath of death. What a great verse that is. The whole poem was so nicely put together. The rhyme sequence was very clever. The imagery of it was bright and just so focused. I really love this piece, Sweet. You're amazing, and your storytelling was just out of this world great. Thank you for sharing it.
Oh, thank you. To say my rhyme was good from the amazing rhymer, I'm blushing with just pride here. Thank you so very much. I rhyme when I write for Hatter.
Right. That's great. No, thank you. You're very welcome.
Great comment. And Dave Prophet, please.
Well, this was really, really a fun poem to listen to. It was a fun poem to read because the fantasy that Pam wrote into this was really, really great. It was kind of an old-fashioned sort of a storyline. At least that's the way it hit me. And the rhyme and meter is really good in this too. I think this thing should be in a book someplace. I think you could read it to kids too, as far as that goes. Mad Hatter Zombadies never saw the next sunshine, the unshadowed laughter and smile that he brutalized. I can't imagine Hatter brutalizing anything until the bells of old time did toll and Shadow's face was surprised. This was cool. It was almost like a fairy tale to me anyway. Just way too cool. Well done, Pam. This is just
standing. Thank you. Thank you.
And how about one last comment from Sky before Angel for me?
Sky, talk to me.
I did. I commented.
Oh, I'm losing it. Okay.
did not comment.
Frank.
So I'm just
Frank,
in the corner here tonight.
Please?
Yes, by all means. I'm going to have to echo what I believe David said, or Dave, about this should be a storyline here. This could be easily a book here, a fable. And so then again, I realize that there is this already the character already there, which is the Hatter there. And I find this very refreshing, the way you attribute. I am myself curious to know more about the character than that Hatter. I know much about it, but there's so much about these type of characters that spin off into other characters. And the way you wrote this poem, the way you describe, and the prompt was excellent too. You did a great thing there with the prompt there in this poem here. But I really like the elements here and what you brought of the Hatter there and what you brought of our Hatter as well. But you did a fantastic job. You know, if you get beyond the meter, you get beyond the rhyme. I was really much intrigued and really just enjoyed the storyline. And I always do with your poetry, whether it's a scary poem or whether it's a poem on fantasy or, you know, whatever. You always bring a very good narrative to your poetry, and I find that very, very, very intriguing. Did a great job.
We sort of jacked the character of Mad Hatter up a little bit, Frank.
Yeah, we did.
I'm still learning, my friend. I'm still learning about you, man.
I think about some of the ways that Hatter has, the Mad Hatter has actually been jacked up, so to speak, and it makes me crack up. And I just figured I would do something that would make Sweet giggle before she left.
Oh my God, that hurts! Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
I appreciate you calling, and
stick it.
Yeah, guys, have a great night. I'm going to go unpack from Wyoming and get my mother-in-law in bed and do all that. It's been a very long day. I love you guys very much, and I will see you next Tuesday with the Mighty King. All right?
Thanks.
So everybody
sounds
have a
like
great
a plan.
Week.
Night, dog.
Yep. Right,
bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. See, I told you I could get her to smile before she left. Okay, now, Mrs. Sky, would you please read Angel for us?
Oh, yes. Okay. Harvest Souls by Heavenly Angel. Inky darkness, like a shroud, falls across the land. Cryptic sounds of crunching leaves herald the approach of something sinister. The midnight hour is struck upon the bell towers. Grisly ghouls from every tomb float upon the gray mist as ghostly shadows search of blood. Haunting, mystic spells are chanted into the night, an omen for the pits of hell that no exorcism will appease. 'Tis the night to harvest souls for the dark one. And so.
Thank you, Sky. Great read.
Welcome.
And I like that she incorporated a piece of the quote in there, where was that? Darkness falls across the land. Was that the one? The midnight. Anyway,
yeah.
I like the cryptic sounds of crunching leaves herald the approach of something sinister. The midnight hour is struck upon the bell tower. So it was just like the midnight hour is a little nod to it. Floating upon the gray mist, a ghostly shadow in search of blood. So there was a real, like, little pieces that are put through in here to nod to the original quote, which is actually one of my favorites. It comes on the radio quite a bit at this time of year, and I sit there and, okay, you know, I'm not a nerd, but I sit there and say it word with Vincent Price as he says it on the radio, but I can't help it. It's one of my favorite quotes, and I think that she did a great job nodding to it and making it her own, And I'm going back to that one line, no, herald the approach of something sinister. I like when Angel dabbles into the darkness for it. Great job. And it's a double medal winner already, so congratulations on that. Thank you so much, Angel. And Sky, great read. Would you comment for Angel too, please?
Yeah, I thought it was great, and I happen to be just really in season with the darkness. I've been reading the entire works of H.P. Lovecraft, so I was, like, really right into this. And you do darkness really well. I know that a lot of people are known for what they're known for, and it really depends who's reading them. So I always enjoy your dark pieces. I think they're done quite well, and this is no exception, and it's quite a brevity. My favorite part was how you, right here, the midnight hour is struck upon the bell towers, grisly ghouls from every tomb flow upon the gray mist. I thought it was wonderful visual. And then the end was just like, nothing will appease. This is their night, and this is the way it is. I thought it was done really, really well.
Great comment. And what do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, you know, it's not only how you construct the words, but it's the way you choose the words to draw the images. For example, right at the top, cryptic sounds of crunching leaves. Great first to include that in the first verse because you've already built the sound of your image. If that makes sense, it's more of the emotional thing we try to draw out is also physical. And yeah, chanting the omen from the pits of hell. Yeah, I always used to use the term the bowels of hell because it just created that powerful. Yeah, in comment.
Awesome comment. And Linda, what do you think?
I thought it was beautiful. Heavenly Angel, this is something different from her. There's no angels in it, but I guess, where is it? Grisly ghouls from every tomb float upon the gray mist. I guess you could call those dark angels, but I thought it was beautifully dark with scary imagery that oozed fright. This was a suite with many hues of darkness, very palatable with ghoulish delights intertwined within. Very good job. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And let me see here. David, will you comment, please?
Yes. Angel is a pretty talented lady, as we're all starting to find out, or some of us even knew that. she's real good on both sides of the line there, you know. She can write beautiful love stories and the lighter stuff. She does really, really excellent. And she's showing us the dark side of herself here. And I think this was really, really well done. It's real straightforward. It's easy to follow. It's got a great storyline in it, and it's very descriptive. And, you know, if you can put all of those things into one poem, you know, then you're doing good. And she really did this really well. So I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Awesome comment, David. Thank you. And Frank, before I put your recording on, will you comment, please?
Oh, by all means, of course. This is it's not a long poem, but just like the poem of Stephen, you know, there's so much imagery packed into compressed into a brevity. I really like the metaphors in this piece. You know, as someone who writes dark poetry myself, I enjoy the metaphors, and that's what I rely on. I rely as much on my poetry with metaphors and the imagery as well. And I agree with what Hatter was saying about, you know, the image of the cryptic sounds of crunchy leaves. You know, when you know, incorporate or you implement metaphors of that, you know, of that severity, you know, that are very vivid, then you bring on the imagery from the beginning. And I thought the imagery here was very vivid throughout. And I like the way the notion there ends with the harvest sows for the dark one and mention there about the hoe in exorcism. I mean, you cannot go more darker than that imagery there. So I thought, you know, the poem overall was just an excellent poem. It was an excellent read as well.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much.
And it's a prelude to mine now.
I'm sorry, say it again.
I said it's a prelude to mine because I have the same quote on that. Her quote is the same quote I have.
Well, let's see your direction now. So,
hopefully you can hear me this time.
Yeah, I think it was turned all the way up, so we shall see. Normally, there's not a problem. Yours are usually quite clear, so let's find out.
I'm
everyone,
using the background.
Click on.
Yeah. I got some music on there, that's why. So let's see how it goes this time. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Everyone, click on Frank's link, and I shall push play.
Hey, wait a minute.
No problem.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, here we go.
And this obnoxious shade of death surrounds the drifting platinum mist of clouds. The whispering wings of the trap sails of time reverberating heaviness. Like the haunting echoes from the ebony shadows of the ivy vines of the forest, condemned to the realm of the charcoal ashes of the snake of burnt bones. The beautiful pillars and dandelions are lost to the flames of madness, the towering trees of the record conceal the secrets of the wandering shadows. And the foul stench of mystery pervades over the shriveling fungus and moss. Listen to the daunting howling of the black shark with his piercing ruby eyes. The race of the vision unleashed a reign of terror upon the shivering flesh. The ominous parchments of ancient folklore foretold about their descent. When the men of the Crofters sook them to the dungeons of the Inquisition, and the ineffable curse of the imprisoned ones, leading them into horror. And as the darkness of the night, with the ghastly reaper of souls, near the symbol of the Mondes, of the perishing victims of yester, there is no escape from this coiling clutch of the spiraling branches. Who drinks from the goblet of a silver skull, crimson blood. Darkness falls across the land, the midnight hour is close at hand, creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize all's neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. The forest stench is in the air, the funk of 40,000 years. And grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Now that I heard.
In the phone.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Wonderful.
Right, I was going to say, you know, that one was absolutely written for you, Frankie. To include it at the end there was really, really spectacular. And quite often, when you first present us with that maniacal laughter that you have there, I think that was one of my first comments. It reminds me of the laugh from Vincent Price at the end of the quote he reads through the Thriller song.
Yeah.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, and there it was. Now, on your amazing poem and your details, if we didn't have the words to read, I wouldn't have been able to hear some of them. And I'm only saying this because you had mentioned it at the beginning, so like maybe next time try turning it down a little bit more, because, I mean, we don't want you drowned out. Yeah, it's cool to have the background, but we want to hear you, you know. Especially with your details, like the beautiful clovers and dandelions of air lost to the flames of madness. The flames of madness is a brilliant metaphor there. The wrath of perdition unleashed their reign of terror upon the shivering flesh. The ominous parchments of ancient folklore foretold about their presage. There's an old world-ish feel to some of the wording that you used in here, like amidst the darkness of the night, the victims of yester, stuff like that. It really added to like a, made it feel like it was from a time period poem type of thing.
I was going to say, really, if I could say really quick, I don't have the prompt on there with me, Deb, but it was the one with the score there.
Oh, your photo? I'll put that up on the board
one,
so that everyone can see it. Not a problem. But, I think that you did a fabulous job. I'm going to go get the art and put it on the board. Will you comment for Frank?
Okay. Yeah, this had the classic lines of the old school movies. The Hounds of Hell, those old black and white, Vincent Price and Peter Cushing and Boris Karloff. There's always the Hounds of Hell somewhere in that story. Somebody's going to be chased by hounds, and it was one of the most frightening things because everybody could relate to it as a kid, anyway. I'm wondering what I visualize in my own way the face of the narrator, since more, I mean, a cartoon, an animated, if I was to draw what I think that person is looking like as it narrates, as you talk, as you read yours, I do that in my head. Does anybody else see that face? Is it just me?
What?
I'm a bit lost there.
I said that poorly. If I was to draw an animated cartoon face, not cartoon, but an animated drawing of the face of the narrator of that, I'm not good enough to draw a portrait of Frank. I'm not that good, but I can do what I think the...
Well, you could draw. I would be flattered indeed if you could draw.
I'll give it a shot. But that's one in the, because being that I've drawn, when you read in the voices, I picture a certain Boris Karloff looking guy, you know, reading.
That would be
cool.
You
did a good job.
You draw it, Hatter.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot. Let's see.
Yeah, that would be really cool, especially with the way some of your eyes come out in the art you draw. Okay, let me get a comment from, hold on a second. 270, hello.
Hello, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you? Long time no hear.
I'm, Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while, but I'm getting close to being back. About a week.
Hi, Wayne. It's really good to hear you, Wayne.
Wayne.
How long were you in there? I hadn't checked the studio. Did you hear Frank's poem?
No, I didn't hear Frank's poem. About 2 minutes or something, 2 or 3 minutes. Is about,
okay.
I didn't hear anything.
All right, I just wanted to double-check. Let me get him a couple comments. How about if I get a comment from Linda, please?
Frank, as usual, you have created a masterpiece of terror. What I like about your stuff is you never scrimp on the terror. You always have it jam-packed with fright, and it's line for line that's scary, and I don't know how you do that without being redundant, but every line in this is a scary piece of art in itself. This is very well written. Examinations are you look into the history of a piece, and that makes it more realistic. And the more realistic a piece is, the more frightening it is. So I find when you read your stuff with your scary, scary voice and the combination. The combination of all the fright and terror, it combines into this just terrifying piece. So you as an artist must be aware that when you can actually bring the hairs upon somebody's neck standing, that's what your whole point is as an actor, to instill the fright in your audience. And you've done that over and over and over, and I just love your maniacal laugh at the end. It sums it all up, and I really love this piece, Frank. Thank you for sharing it.
Well, I appreciate that. I can say really quickly, my acting coach once told me, he said, Son, if you don't know your audience, you're not going to get far in acting. So precisely what you just said now is what I try to concentrate when I do a performance piece.
Right on. You absolutely do a good job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Great comment. And David, before you read your poem, will you comment for Frank, please?
Yes, I'd love to. Well, Frank, you didn't disappoint us with this one either. You never have. Each one of these stanzas is a story all on its own, and you have connected them all together with your own inimitable style, and they are really scary. They're very descriptive. I like the way you use the metaphors. You just didn't shotgun a whole bunch of them in there, blow them in there, and see which one stuck on the wall, which one didn't, like some people do, but they're well chosen and they're very descriptive. I really like this poem. I thought it was really good, very well read, although I couldn't hear very much of your actual voice.
Yeah.
But that's probably more due to the tin can and string telephone system
that's true. I use a phone. I'm using my, I wish I could get onto a PC to do these performing pieces, but right now at the moment my app is what I have on my phone, so I can get something better for the meantime.
Well, it is, we all know what the phone system's like, on in our network here. So, but no, it was a really, really well done poem, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
I appreciate that, my friends. And I'm going to have to run now, everyone. Have a good day. Good night. And
good night, Frank.
I'll listen afterwards to the rest of the show there. And great poetry tonight, and it was fun. I know it's one day after Halloween, but for me it feels like it was Halloween. So at least I spent Halloween with some close friends I consider friends. Take care, everyone. Take care, my friends.
Thanks for calling, Frank.
Good night.
Take care. Take care, Wayne. It's good to hear from you, too, my friend.
Nice to be here.
David, take us away, please.
Okay. I was really intrigued with this lady here, and I didn't quite know what to do with it, so I just wrote it out, and I call this Crimson Infusion, Scarlet Phantom in Northern Woods, a solitary crimson infusion, oft times mixed inside maple vines, something hidden within your fears, behind the faces of Belvedere, a witch of many faces, her features most exquisite, those curves not quite understood. Her tangential limits approach infinity. Her derivatives and imaginary numbers, something's not quite right. Her mathematics defer. On a forest path, she reforms herself, diaphanous in vermilion and scarlet, blood red caresses an orange mane, a queen tattooed in consanguinity, long ivory fingers tipped in ebony talons, hypnotizing in their own movements, silver finger ring curling themselves around fingers from her mantle shell. Playing with a six-inch gom jabar, she casts her smiling gaze your way, whispers sign-kissed fingers, sexually tilted, stained from shallons. Will you pass my test, David William? She whispers to me without a word. Such enchantment I was privy to see, for you are the mother's dark star. Not since the Dark Mother have I seen such beauty so refined. Quantum hints of extreme age. Pray tell her test may kill him. She's been here since the dawn of time. Autumn leaves fall around her, weeping for the crimson infusion. Indolent, her concerns have always been. She asks much from the woods. She's been alone from time immemorial, lonesome beyond all measure. She begins to sublime. Help me, David William. I do not wish to leave. I am so lonesome, for I am so misunderstood. I will not test thee with the gom jabar. The Dark Mother told me of your heart. I pray for a love as thee has for her, for I was the shunned daughter of Ephraim. What would you have me do, my crimson infusion? I said to the Red Witch. My heart and soul belong to the Dark Mother, for her love is so peculiar and bizarre. Just a kiss, I beg of thee. Then God perhaps will let me stay to live a million more lifetimes within a mortal illusion. So I kissed her, this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling. End poem.
Hello. What an ending. So I kissed her, then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling. I love the last line there. That's pretty cool. Wow. Where do I go? Playing with a 6-inch gom jabber. What's a gom jabber?
Well, that comes from the movie Dune, and it's a device that tests if you're human or whether you're an animal. It'll kill any animal, but if you're human, it won't kill you. That's what a gom jabar is.
Ah, wow. Jabar. Woohoo. Will you pass my test, David William? She whispers to me without a word. Such enchantment I was privy to see, for you are the mother's dark star. There's, you know, it's really cool how you thread these romantic notions in through the stories that you mentioned her in. It's just like unbelievably cool the way you have carried her throughout the years with you. Just start there. Scarlet Phantom in Northern Woods, a solitary crimson infusion. I love that thought, a crimson infusion. A witch of many faces, her features most exquisite, those curves not quite understood. Now that's saying something. I don't know what that tickled me, those curves not quite understood. Like it's beyond comprehension. They're so
Not
since the Dark Mother have I seen such beauty so refined. I think that for a minute there, I could almost feel Dark Mother getting a little bit jealous. you know, because, like, I think she might just happen to go hunt this crimson infusion down and give her some cotton candy gunpowder infusion. But no, you got to give a special nod to this part. What would you have me do, my crimson infusion? I said to the Red Witch, my heart and soul belong to the Dark Mother, for her love is so peculiar and bizarre. But I love that you put that nod in there, that, you know, my heart and soul belongs to the Dark Mother, because we, who've been hanging around with you for years, know that to be the truth. Way cool. But again, that
thank
ending
you.
There, so I kissed her. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling. I thought that was clever, David. Great share. Let's see.
Thank
Where
you.
Am I going to go? Hatter, what do you think?
There's one place in here that I really caught, and I'm hoping you meant it the same way. Her derivatives in imaginary numbers, something's not quite right. Her mathematics to fear. That's a deeper, scarier thought than most would think, because you change the math, you change the science. You change the science, you change physics, and that's walking, you know, disappearing anytime you can, anytime you want.
That's right.
Yeah, good job.
You got it.
Great comment. And Linda, what do you think?
I think David's walking the road to scary land. What gets in your mind? I have no idea. This is beautifully written, David. Your imagination abounds and overflows. And your characters are well defined, and your description of them is just awesome. I think you did a really good job on this. Let me see what else. And that you brought the Dark Mother in and pledged your allegiance to her was a very cool addition to this poem. But I really liked your character. I think you defined her well. But your stuff is always so intricate and intriguing that my comments can't do them justice. But I think this was well written, David, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for such a nice comment, Linda.
Yeah, I thought that after we leave this plane of existence, if we wake up and there's the Dark Mother, we'll have to but use your name, Dave.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And before I get a comment from Wayne, let's say hello to Crystal. Hey, Crystal. Welcome to the show.
Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Crystal.
Glad to hear, doll. And Wayne, will you comment for David, please?
Yes, but nice to hear your voice again there, Dave, and your poems. I replaced my computer, keyboard, and mouse about 2-3 days ago, and it's all locked up again. I can't get it. I got something wrong. I can't even read nothing on my screen. I heard it. It's a great poem, and I just didn't make a comment because I can't see the poem. I'm sorry about that. And I got to go on the screen. Sorry about that.
Don't you hate when that happens? Thank you, Wayne. Okay, now let me see.
Thanks,
here.
Wayne.
I don't know how, Crystal, how long were you there, hon? Did you hear any of David's poem, or did you just get here?
I didn't get a chance to hear it, no.
Okay, I thought you just got here, but I didn't want to just not ask just in case. Okay. If you guys would click on the poem by Titus, I will push play, and then we will have Linda's and Wayne's right after that. And tell me when you see it, and I'll push play.
Got it.
Okay, here comes the poem by Titus.
Subordinates do the role I play. Long after midnight, stands alongside many who are called the living dead. I do believe the souls I hear confide in reliving all the outcomes I do dread. I would have to gaze a time alone, it bearing down on death, to be my own. I found the same like the lost souls gathered here, who do play these roles. Long after midnight stands alongside many who are called the living dead. I do believe the souls I hear confide in reliving all the outcomes I do dread.
You know, there was something about how it led us from that long after midnight, that it takes us back to it, and there was something haunting about the repeat of the first stanza. But let me see. I do believe the souls I hear confide in reliving all the outcomes I so dread. There's a such a an ache there, reliving those things that you dread so much, haunting, nightmarish. And I would have to gaze at time alone, it's bearing down on death to be my own. I'm like, whoa, the death to be my own. When we got to that part, I got like the chills. But again, I say there's something about the repeat. It was like a haunted echo as he read it the second time. It's a shame it was a little bit low, unless it was just my phone, but because I enjoy hearing his voice when he reads so much. But yeah, and the quote that he wrote to has the one about the man alone who stood at the stairs, and he could see the man there, but he was really alone. So the haunting of the quote And his words go excellently with the photo that he chose, because if you look, that woman's standing there and she's got these demons around her, and it's like it's just a freaky, scary place to be. And I love the title, Subordinates Do the Role I Play. Fantastic. And a special shout out to Tony, who is about to go off, I believe he said, to Ireland. So enjoy the R&R. Thank you for pre-recording so many poems, because I see them all over my topics. I appreciate it very much, and we will see you when you get back. Amazing brevity. Let me get you some comments. Hutter, what you think?
Yeah, you said it. In very few words, it says the power of his pen, I guess. Where's the one? Many who are called the living dead, I do believe the souls I hear. Okay. That's almost, I can't remember the right, but it's Lovecraft, I think. It could be Poe, when he's talking about himself looking from beyond this, sort of realizing where he was. That's the feeling I got from it. I shouldn't try to refer to things I can't remember titles of, huh? Sorry.
That is okay. Thank you for the comment. And how about if I get a comment from Crystal, please?
I get myself off mute. I don't know what it is lately. Maybe it's because he did go off to Ireland, but Titus has been, like, writing a lot of brevities. I'm not used to it. Because I literally was, like, I laid my head back and was like, okay, time for me to listen to a long SoundCloud of Titus's, and then all of a sudden I opened my eyes and I'm like, what happened? I felt like something went wrong, but then I looked at the poem and I was like, oh, never mind. It was very short. But, like, I like that he's, like, dabbing into a little bit of brevity. I definitely like parts of the first stanza about that. I believe the souls that I hear confide in the reliving of the outcomes I do dread. Like, that kind of has, like a very, like, dark kind of tone to it. But, yeah, I also like the repetition of long after midnight. So it kind of gives you that kind of spooky, I guess, Halloween feel. Like you're walking out in the middle of the dark and you don't know what you're going to find, but I think you did a great job.
Awesome comment. And David, please comment.
Yes. I like that repetition of the first and last stanza. I think you said that, Deborah. I like that a lot. I would have to gaze at time alone. It's bearing down on death to be my own. Are found the same like the lost souls gathered here who do play these roles. That middle stanza is pretty cool. He manages to say quite a bit in four lines, and just in that one stanza, and then when you add the other two onto it. It's quite a story, and it's not very long. I agree with what Crystal said about it. I'm used to more lengthy poems from Titus, and this one and the other one that I heard were definitely shorter than that by probably six stanzas, maybe, or four. Anyway, this was really well done. I liked it. It was scary, but in a sort of a gentleman's kind of way, I guess. I don't know. Classic maybe is a better word. So good job. Nice, good poem.
Thank you, David. And let me see here. Linda, will you comment for Titus and then, and then read your poem for us, please?
Sure. It's funny you said that, David, because I had written that Titus always brings a certain amount of class to the show. His writing is just so classy. But what a treat, a tremendous work of art from Titus. He never fails to bring class to our show. This is brilliant and hauntingly great. Scary imagery as well. Thank you for sharing, Titus. And have a lovely vacay.
Awesome comment, Linda. Thank you. And did you want to push your own hosting activities before you leave?
I sure would. On the 11th of next month, or this month, November 11th at 10 Eastern, I have a show on A Team of Voices. And on the 19th, I believe, the third Saturday, I have a show at 9 p.m. Eastern at La Cosa Nostra. We have a lot of fun, tell some stupid jokes, read some good poetry, so come and have some fun.
Awesome. And as soon as you see your poem, go ahead and take us away, please.
Okay. I'm going to have to refresh.
Got it.
I'm going to try something new. This is called The End at Pierre Lachaise. The clock in the tower chimes 12 o'clock. The foghorn blows a warning sign. Blood runs down the gutters of Avenue Saint-Tremain, looking somewhat like a good port wine. I work in the alleys in the shadows black and hue, way back behind the busy streets. my hands still covered in her velvet crimson blood, my heart in her pocket still doth beat. Oblivion calls out and beckons me to come, to hide my pretty treasures safe and sound. In portraits of yesterday I see my gentle works done in a manner that abounds. I'm an artist with a razor when it comes to slitting throats. I'm a master when it comes to stealing hearts. You'll think I'm charming and you'll give yourself to me. You'll be happy until my rampage starts. Like a ghost, I do travel down the Paris streets, searching for my next pretty goat. I'll seduce you well with my witty charms, then I will slit your lovely throat. The smell of your blood brings me to climax. The feel of your body makes me swoon. The prettiest thing that I've ever seen is the light in your hair from the moon. In the end, you'll be buried in Pierre Lachaise. I'll be there, but hiding in the back. I've done my job and done it oh so well, much better than that London guy named Jack. In peace.
Oh. Wow,
okay.
Wow. Right?
Okay.
My. Talk about dabbling in the darkness, my dear. Man, I don't even know which one to pick. I worked in the alleys and shadows, black and hue, way back behind the busy streets, my hands still covered in her velvet crimson blood, her heart in my pocket. Still don't speak. Oh, man. You brought out some old world language for this one as well. I'm an artist with a razor when it comes to slitting throats. I'm a master when it comes to stealing hearts. You'll think I'm charming and give yourself to me. You'll be happy until my rampage starts. Creepy. And I love the little nod there to, you know, okay, well, Jack the Ripper's mentioned there, but I've done my job and it's done it so well, much better than that London guy named Jack. I mean, very cool little twist there. Deep and dark and wicked and wow, fantastic share, my dear. I like where you
Thank
took
you,
this. And
yeah.
I wondered because, I mean, you know, there he is. That's who I saw, too, when I saw the man's... Well, no, wait a minute. First, I have to admit, when I saw the hat, I thought of Hatter. But then I was like, oh, wait, he could be a Ripper, you know? But, man, I think that you did an amazing job with this. I really, really like it.
Thank
let me
you,
get
you
some comment, too. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, right off the bat, Saint Tremaine, is that the reappearing saint through history?
It's just something I made up.
Oh, really? Because I think there is. Okay. Embarrassing. This seems too real. How well do we really know liquid damage? I mean, yeah, she got to it. When the first time I heard the cutting of throats, you said it too easily. we want some more evidence of who you are.
Right.
Like a London guy, Jack. Right.
I think it was so used to whimsical, Linda, that it was just like, whoa, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
brilliant.
It's like what I heard Miss Lou tell somebody, "I'm gonna mess with my friends. I'm gonna gut you like a trout." Jesus Christ, that was bad.
That's scary.
The first time I read something of hers at the Rat Free Battles in the ladies' portion of the Hive Wars. And let me tell you, my girl can pull out the details and rip the whole world apart in style. And,
cool.
And my chin was just like, whoa. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to the amazing poem.
That's what it's all about.
Right? Yes. But back to Linda's poem. Let's see what David thought.
Thanks, Heather.
Yeah.
Did you say David?
Yes.
Did
yes,
you say David?
Please.
Oh, okay.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this was amazing, just absolutely amazing. It's so well written, and I agree with what Adder said. It almost seems like it's real. You did that so well, Linda. Beautiful Christmas. I don't want to go to bed now. I'll take my dog with me. Anyhow, this was really, really cool. The rhyming is perfect as usual. I like that last line there on the last stanza. It says, I've done my job and done it oh so well, much better than that London guy named Jack. Yeah, I was sort of trying to pull some limelight away from old Jack the Ripper, you know, and so well told storyline, really well done. I liked it.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Crystal, can you please comment for Linda before you read your poem?
Yeah. Unlike everybody else, I did not feel like it was real, but I did feel like I was like hearing like a story kind of being read to me, almost like you would hear something on like a murder mystery podcast or something like that. That's what it sounds like to me. And I really enjoyed hearing you read it. You read it really well.
Thank you.
It definitely like has a really good like story and everything. And I did like the ending much better than that London guy, Jack, like that kind of had a little clever twist on it. I think you did a great job.
Thank you, sweetheart.
And Linda, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And we will talk soon, dear heart. Love and respect.
Love and respect, Deb.
Go count the children.
Thank you, guys.
Nice. And
nice.
David, I'm going to get you to read for Budo after Crystal as well, if you don't mind. But
no, that's
Crystal,
fine. Sure.
Take us away, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is called Crimson Fog Through Charcoal Doors. Here we go. Charcoal fogged the midnight skies with wet mist of tar and crimson winds. Metal gates rattle at the thunder and lightning flashing on Shadow's chin. An alabaster moon shimmers gleam on broken branches and dusty twigs. Wolves whistle at the skeleton bones, unraveling the snap skulls they dig. Footsteps trod through the dead leaves and muddy stairs, scraping boots on a doormat. Strands like snakes and fingers, dangling like spiders, knocking on the plaque. A pale hand draped from the black cloak, inhaling the bloody flames of rogue smoke. Echoing through the door, creak of fumes. Hey, you're here for the Halloween party? I like your costume. Do you like the fog machine I made? Were you afraid? Happy Halloween. How cool is
that? That's cool.
The scene.
Right? Yeah.
The scene.
The fun that you must have had doing it shows at. Because, like, there was a smile in your voice as you were reading, for one thing. Footsteps trod through dead leaves and muddy stairs, scraping boots on a doormat. Brunette strands like snakes and fingers dangling like spiders knocking on the plaque. Talk about visuals, dear heart. Wow. A pale hand draped from the black cloak, inhaling the bloody flames of rogue smoke. I really like the visuals here. And the metaphor of the rogue smoke is quite brilliant too. And then your voice sort of changed and you were like, hey, you here for the Halloween party? I was like, oh, cool. Nice little twist there. A humor at the end. I think you did a fantastic job with this. And I wondered when you, I was surprised at the photo you chose, but I'm thrilled that you had fun with it. Oh, and one more thing, the first two words, charcoal fogged. Brilliant, because it perfectly describes that visual there in the art. So I think you did a fantastic job with this. And I know I already said it, but I'm really, really liking the Flames of Rogue Smoke. Fun share. Again, I'm really glad you called. And Heather, what do you think?
Everything you said, and I don't think we get the howl of wolves like it's meant. Now we hear it, we think haunted house, you know, okay, wolf around. Back in the day, a wolf's howl was frightening. That's where all the fairy tales come from. Hansel and Gretel don't go in the woods, you know, Red Riding Hood, all these. We take that for granted. You placed it well. The other part, Deb, you hit on too. Muddy stairs, creepy boots on doormats. You know, there's a certain sound to that. but yeah, I was surprised at the ending too, Hope.
Thanks, Heather.
You having a Halloween party? Yeah. You know, it goes to show how... It goes to show just how well everybody's writing. You know, this trip we've all hung around together for years. Hung around for years with each other, and just to read some of you guys, incredible.
And it's
not
cool
even trying sometimes.
But we spend all this time together and still find ways to impress each other on a daily. That's pretty impressive itself. Great comment.
Yeah.
David, will you comment for Crystal?
Oh, yeah. You know, this was really cool. The first one, two, three, four stanzas, she sets this whole thing up. And then the last stanza turns it all around. And I can't help but think that the person that came to this Halloween party is a real McCoy and is not some guest in a snappy costume, you know. That's what I sort of took away from this. I love the pitch of your voice, Crystal, when you got to the last stanza. That was really, you just switched gears and you did it so well. And it sounded like somebody totally different to me. You did a really fine job with the descriptions and the metaphors. I saw this prompt and I thought, boy, that's kind of interesting, but I don't know what I'd do with it, you know, and you took it and ran with it and you did a really good job on it. And I thought this was really well done. So nice job, you know. And, you know, the thing is, like Hatter says, you know, we all of us know each other pretty well in this group and we've been around a long time. And I was just thinking the other day how much fun it would be if we all got together and had a big dinner or something. Yeah, and we all got to meet each other face to face and talk about stuff and maybe get drunk or a little higher. This is some fun, you know. I think that'd really be cool. So you did good, Crystal.
Well, the lottery's over $1 billion. So if everybody runs out tomorrow and picks up a ticket and one of us win, we will have the poetry dinner and we can meet in person. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
Right.
So winner buys.
Well, absolutely. especially when it's over a $1 billion jackpot. Not that you won't get more than like $3 million or something, but still, I'll take it. But in the meantime, David, will you please read for Boot? Oh, wait a minute. Crystal, did you want to talk about a show you have coming up and how much longer can you stay?
I don't have another show coming up, or at least not till next month. And I can stay for a little while.
Um,
I forgot it's November. Oh, yeah, I'll have a show eventually. I just don't know what it is yet. I keep forgetting that it's November. I literally changed my calendar and everything last night and then forgot it. Yeah, I have a show coming up, don't I? I just got to figure out what I want to do for the theme.
Wow. Eventually. I love that. That tickled me. I'll figure it out eventually. Right now it's written down for the 9th. So see what you think about that.
Okay.
Next Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, David, will you read for Budo, please?
Sure. And this one's called Sentinel. A black beast calls thrice 'neath Nick's brimming maw. Once for a life lived, twice for existence no more. And lastly, for that which will not be. Because on this hall's eve, the dispatched and dearly departed will know of no future past, but only of present failing. To squander ill-fated flight, damned in deeming empty promises, to elicit dust in the receding memories of a bygone flicker of hope, suffered in the dampness of a musty tomb, forgotten but for last rites, ordained by the branched sentinel on a rain-soaked diodic passage that the infernal knew all too well. Vale, fare thee well, and home.
Thank you, David. The Sentinel, I like that title. Let me see here. Once for life lived, twice for existence no more, and lastly, for that which will not be. That's pretty cool, for that which will not be. And then to squander ill-fated flight, damned and deeming empty promises, to elicit dust in the receding memories of a bygone flicker of hope. And you know what's funny? Bygone is one of those, old school words. And it's funny how many people went to the old school type of words tonight. The art seems to have brought out like tense and I'm trying to think of, why does that always happen? There was quite a few words used tonight that were old world is what the term I was looking for. And it seems like everybody found a way to put just a little, almost everybody found a way to put just a little bit of it, like that bygone flicker of hope. But it's, on a side note there, bygone flicker of hope, you might notice that Crystal's name says see hope, and you could take that as see, like with your eyes, see hope. And I hope that Crystal is seeing hope, because we miss our hope.
Where are you going, Hope? Where are you going, Hope?
Right?
Out to school.
And this is really cool. Ordained by the branched sentinel. Ordained by. Pretty clever there. I thought he did a really cool job with this, and I was looking to see which one he wrote to Ben, the ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling. Oh, cool, cool, cool. I was trying to look at the quote that he had at the bottom. But, yeah, I think that this came out fantastic, especially right from the very first line, a black calls thrice. And there we are with the old world wording again. So I like it throws me away that many of you went in the direction of pulling in just a little bit of old world style to help with the poetry. It just more proof that we all spend a lot of time together. Great share, Budo. Thank you very much. And David, you read. What did you think?
Well, I like this a lot, and you hit the nail right on the head with the archaic words in there, Deborah. Yeah, that's cool. I thought he did a good job in describing the raven. I had one for a pet for a while, about a year, and he's a big male, and his name was Edgar. Anyhow, I learned quite a bit from watching that bird and being around him, and they have a real sense of humor. They're uncannily smart and intelligent, and you know, he sort of writes that into this poem. You sort of get that from reading this, and I really like the way he worded this. The last stanza, forgotten but for last rites ordained by a branch sentinel. That's really cool. On a rain-soaked diodic passage that the infernal know all too well. That's really neat. Bud's a good writer anyway. He's a good guitar player and a good lyricist, and it shows in this poem of his. Good job, Bud.
Great comment, and thank you again for reading. Hutter, what do you think?
Yeah, the wordage, I don't know why you're so surprised. I've been pushing for everybody to talk a little more or less Lisbethian anyway. Not that Budo did follow that, but... Oh, okay. No, he does a good job. Once again, is everybody writing brevity? Is this brevity week?
Could be.
I guess so.
But sometimes the poets are just so damn good, they don't need very many words, right?
There you go. Yeah, forgotten, but for last rites obtained by the branch sentinel. Very good. I've grown up.
Awesome comment. And Crystal, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that this is a really good poem. But I have one question for Dave real quick. So you could have got two, or not technically a question, but something to tell you. You could have got two other ravens and named one Poe and one Alan, but that's just, anyway. But back to Budo's poem. I really like this. I like the very dark kind of scary vibes to it. And I did like the bygone flicker of hope, but I kind of liked that what Deb was saying, I liked he used bygone. It's not a word I guess I don't think to put in poetry, but I might after this. Because, like, I don't see the word used that often, I guess. And I liked seeing it in his poem. But I also liked the dampness of a musty tomb. Like, I can just, whenever I see someone use the word, like, misty or musty or anything, I can picture it pretty well, like the atmosphere. But I think he did a great job.
Awesome comment. Okay, so let me see here. Here is where we are, you guys. It looks like the next poem is by Al, so I will read for him. And then that will leave us a recording by Gerald. And then I'm sorry, I said that wrong. First, Hatter's going to read. Then it will leave us me reading for Al, the recording for Gerald, and then if Wayne doesn't get his keyboard back together so that he can call in, I'll need a reader for him, and we'll be done for the night. So, Hatter, show us what you can do.
Okay. Now that I got the weeks and the pictures straightened out, sorry about that. The sounds of the crows. It goes like this. You sort of got to look at that picture too, what he's doing there. Goes like this. His name is remembered as a small town poet. Few knew that's true, but he tried not to show it. All from a time of uncivilized rhyme in the days of unscrupulous rites. Down on one knee, asking him, please, do you believe it's wrong to be right? Propped up to see what will possibly be the eyes of a poet turned gray. Spend all his time talking in rhyme, guess what he's trying to say. With classic suspenders, he hides him from view among our pretenders that look just like you. Gathering things he stole from my dreams, knowing he has to let go. When lost in the spaces, he finds the traces, then turns to the sounds of the crow. Mwahaha.
Nice laughing yet better. Let's see here. Down on my knees, asking him, please, do you believe it's wrong to be right? Propped up to see what will possibly be the eyes of a poet turned gray. Spend all this time talking in rhyme. Guess what he's trying to say? I like that you put the nod to rhyme in there, Hatter. Spend all this time talking in rhyme. Guess what he's trying to say? Really cool. Gathering things he stole from my dreams, knowing he has to let go. The thought of somebody stealing stuff from your dreams is like overwhelmingly creepy. So, you know, you look at this guy in the picture and he's overwhelmingly creepy with the crow on the end of his, is that a shovel, I think, maybe? Or just his staff. But, man, I can't get past that, the stole from my dreams. I think that's wicked. And then the ending there, when lost in the spaces, he finds the traces, then turns to the sound of the crow. And there's that Hatter rhyme. It's always so easy to read you because after just a few words, you pick up the rhyme and the flow and the cadence, and it's just always brilliant.
Great. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, sister.
Tisha, what do you think?
Yeah, I always love the I did unmute. I do always love the rhyme that Hatter has. It always like has that, like, get right into the flow of it. It doesn't take much. But yeah. I almost had like, when reading this, I almost feel like it was kind of like a reflection kind of poem, where really the person and stuff like that is kind of like burying their own selves, with probably with that shovel. I don't know. It just kind of seemed to me was like he was trying to hide from himself, and really the whole victim was actually him. But I don't know. That's just kind of what went through my head. Kind of went a little dark. but great job, Adder.
Yeah, that's a picture of me.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
and,
right.
What did you think? David? David, are you muted?
Oh, no, I'm not muted. I just didn't hear you. this is really, really a great poem. It's just, I like all Hatter's works. If somebody asked me to pick a favorite, I couldn't do it because they're all my favorites. But the way it's written and the way it rhymes, it's, you know, I love these couplets. And his name is remembered as a small town poet. Few knew this true as he tried not to show it. All from a time of uncivilized rhyme and the days of unscrupulous rights. I like those two couplets right there. It shows an individual that not really looking for any limelight, so to speak. Down on one knee, asking him, please, do you believe it's wrong to be right? There's a good logic problem for you. Propped up to see what will possibly be the eyes of a poet turned gray. Spend all his time talking in rhymes. Guess what he's trying to say? That sounds like my ex-wife talking in rhymes, and I never could figure out what the hell she had to say. But that's an interesting concept right there. Among all the predators, among are the predators that look just like you, gathering he stole from my dream, knowing he has to let go. Hey, yeah, stealing something from somebody's dreams would be really creepy. I never thought about that before, but you sure would be. I'd be pissed.
I thought about it when I wrote it, and it freaked me out a little bit. Yeah, that's pretty personal, man. Do it back.
Yeah, it is. No, you did good on this hat. I really liked it.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Nobody mentioned the eyes of the poet turned gray. I thought that was a cool line. Eyes of a poet turned gray.
Oh. Sure, yeah. And did I let Crystal comment?
You
think so?
I already did comment.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, I thought you commented first. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so that leaves us with Alf, Gerald, and Wayne. So I'm going to read for Alf. If you want to click on his poem and tell me when you see it.
Nope, it jumped. Hold on. I learned the trick of calling your thing back. Okay, got it.
Okay, dokie. So, yes. Retribution by Alf Collier. Here we go. I am that pewter person on the stairs who isn't there. I lurk in chrome-caped crevices and stroll khaki-shadowed alleys of your past, glimpsed without concrete form. I walk in misted silence and speak in cacti-spiked phrases, trailing indigo innuendo and indecipherable breezes, cadmium cold and chillingly clinical, as if written on onyx slabs. Only the acrid taste of truth resides long after the stairwell empties, and the purple pools of my passing taints the victories claimed without qualm. And I shall walk with you in tomorrow's world, a Rubik's relic of retribution, while you paint rust-laden recriminations on the blackboards of an unforgiving underworld. End poem. I am the pewter person on the stairs who isn't there. I like that because, like, pewter is the coloring there could very well be like a shadow, so that's really cool. But I love this. I lurk in chrome-caped crevices and stroll khaki-shadowed alleys of your past, glimpsed without concrete form, which that glimpse without concrete form is another brilliant way of saying that there was nobody there. And then the acrid taste of truth resides. It's to me, a brilliant metaphor and another way of saying that the truth hurts. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth on that stairwell of emptiness. So really, really clever. And I like that he pulled some of the word bank words. And it seems like that the thought of that last man standing there on the stairs is something that grabbed quite a few of the poets tonight. Alf, it's always my honor to be your reader, and I think that you, as always, did a fantastic job with this, and I appreciate it very much. Keep them coming. Thank you. And let me get you some comments. Heather, what did you think?
Yeah, you could, at the very end, you could drop that under and while you paint rust-laden recriminations on the blackboards of an unforgiving world.
That is a powerful line with the underworld, upwards of the unforgiving underworld. Yeah, you know what? He did use the word bank, huh?
Some of the colors, yeah. Like the pewter and the khaki and the purple. There's almost always a word bank of colors at the bottom underneath the art, but in some cases like this one, it's optional. So
requirement
would be at the top. But
The reason I ask is you don't notice it at all. I like the Victory's claims that without qualm. There's another word not used. Taints the victories claimed without qualm. Acid taste. Man, what is it? This is short for Alf, isn't it? This is short brevity too. Powerful words. Boo. Everybody writes better dark, maybe. Maybe that's it. Everybody's darker.
DACA. Great comment, Hatter Thesis. And Crystal, what did you think?
Yeah, I definitely love this one part of the poem, and that's just the indigo innuendo. As soon as I heard that, I was like, I don't know why, I just love the sound of that. And I love that he put it in there. And I also like about the strolling through khaki shadowed alleys of a past glimpse without concrete form. It kind of almost made me feel like almost like feeling invisible. I don't know if like exactly how that was, I guess, because I was thinking of the top part of it. We're talking about on the stairs who isn't there, and almost like you're walking through places and like no one sees you and stuff. You're almost like just like a shadow on the wall, pretty much. That's kind of just where I went with that, though. Could be wrong. I know Alf and a lot of other people often write a lot of metaphors, and you don't always know what exactly the metaphor is, but I love a poem that makes you think. So I think you did an awesome job with this.
Comment. And David, what did you think?
I really like this. I've always liked Alf's poetry. He's a good writer. This one's really colorful. It really gets your attention. I walk in misted silence and speak in cacti spiked phrases, trailing indigo innuendo on indecipherable breezes. I agree with Crystal on that line. Cadmium cold and chillingly clinical, as if written on onyx slabs. And, as if written on onyx slabs is pretty heavy statement, because we all know onyx is a mineral, and it's a beautiful mineral. You know, most of the time it's just a really deep, shiny black, and if you could chisel some ideograms into it, it would be pretty heavy duty to look at. I thought this was really well done, and you know, I liked all the word usage in it and all the metaphors. It was excellent.
Great comment. Appreciate it, everyone, and thanks again, Alf. And okay, we are on the second to the last poem. If you guys would click on Gerald's link, I will push play. And then looks like I'll have you read for Wayne David, because I don't think he'll be able to call back. So click on Gerald, and here we go.
Cemetery Hill, written and read by Gerald Green. The tower clock makes no noise as both hands apex in uncharacteristic cold air on this last night in October. Wind sweeps across the silent graveyard, not with gusts, but steady as an ocean tide, making twigs bend like skinless fingers. A rusty iron fence surrounds this place of rest, each rod resembling bones with no flesh, all lined up as if in tombs of their own. A distant howl from somewhere in the valley makes an owl turn his head. Fear lives in this place where vapor rises every night. Feral cats arrive for inspiration from the smell of death, hunching backs and raising tails, ready for whatever comes. Granite markers stand alone. Some rise higher than the others, wasted wealth to make a point. Now just greater weight upon a skeleton. Thick clouds part but for a moment, letting moonlight reach each stone. Then it happens. For a second, terror reaches out and grasps my throat. I turn my head and look away, with quickened pace, to reach my home, yet 3 miles distant on this curving old dirt road. The wind now turns against my back, as if to push me from this sight, a warning for the living. Keep away, or pay the price. End poem.
Unmuted.
I was waiting for him to say that the Gerald Green radio part. Usually I start talking and then he fooled me this time. But wow. Cemetery Hill. Great title because, like, look at that photo. But my, oh my, the tower clock makes no noise as both hands apex. An uncharacteristic cold air on the last night in October. So right there, he sets the tone for us and the surroundings. A rusty iron fence surrounds this place of rest, each rod resembling bones with no flesh. Those visuals are creepy. I mean, you can picture those, you know? You see here, the... granite markers stand alone, some rise higher than the others, wasted wealth to make a point. That was hard-hitting. Wasted wealth to make a point. I turn my head and look away with quickened pace to reach my home, yet 3 miles distant on the curving old dirt road. He's taken us on this journey with him, and with the details and stuff, he made it quite a spooky place to be. And then at the end, the wind now turns against my back as if to push me from the sight, a warning for the living, keep away or pay the price. But think about that. You're moving along, and then the wind literally moves you from that sight. The wind don't have to tell me twice. I'm gone. So I thought that detail was really cool. I thought that this was a really fun piece. Great details. And the distant howl from somewhere in the valley makes the owl turn his head. It's like, uh-oh. I think that this was really cool and that Gerald had some Halloween fun writing this piece for sure. A really awesome share, Gerald. Appreciate it very much. And you did a brilliant job. Thank you so much. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, it reminded me when the howls and the way he described the beginning, it reminded me of the dogs of night when I was stalked by those dogs or coyotes that I couldn't see. Brought that feeling on. Thank you. Having to turn around and run down the road. I've done that. Couple times. Sometimes your imagination gets the better of you and you shrug it off a couple times, but sometimes it's inevitable, it's going to freak you out and you end up sprinting for the house. to relate. Very good. Thanks, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comment, Hatter. And David, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was really well done. The descriptions of the cemetery and the situation in it are pretty telling. Some of the things about talking, it says feral cats arrive for inspiration from the smell of death, hunching backs and raising tails ready for whatever comes. Describes wild cats pretty well. I've been creeped out a time or two myself, like what Hatter was saying. And sometimes we can't really see what's going on. I think there's a part of the human mentality or psyche that can detect bad things that are about to happen, even though we can't see them. And when you get these weird feelings, I think that's part of what's going on here. Somebody just says, it's just your imagination. Maybe, but I pay attention to my imagination a lot, as you know. Anyhow, I thought this was interesting, really interesting poem, the way Gerald wrote it and the way he presented it and read it. So it's a good job, good poem.
Great comment, dear. Thank you so much. And the last poem of the night is on the board from Wayne. And Wayne, I appreciate you calling in, and I'm sorry that you weren't able to call back and that your computer gave you a hard time. But again, I'm really glad you're back, and I look forward to you calling. And we're going to have David read your poem for us. David, please.
Okay. Hold on just a second here. Let me get over there to it. All right, here we go. Satan's helper. I met the six-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. Took one look, noticed his spirit wild as my heart sank, had to leave the evil place. Still heard the awful cries, the dreaded cries. I spent 8 years trying to reach him and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up. I faced many fears, stood and fought them, not caring if either was dying, nothing left in spiritual cup, because I realized that what I was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil. We left a plan devised, only a prayer was I giving. For days I heard the cries before my world became civil. Calmness cried when the demon awoke. No one knew the language he spoke. Had a blazing hellfire strapped to his hip, hard to understand, with stitches on his lip. Tortured and tormented without a smile, the stench of his body was reek and vile. He wore Satan's skullcap on his chest. Be many nights before the world would rest, I watched as he laid claim to the souls. Was no sense in digging graveyard holes. Had to stop him, no matter the cost. Not sure if any battle he had lost. I came crawling on my hands and knees, made him feel safe as he stood at ease. In a flash, branded him with the holy word. As he faded away, was angels we heard. End poem. That's cool.
Thank you, David. My goodness. Mm-hmm. I spent 8 years trying to reach him and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up and face many fears, stood and fought them, not caring if either was dying, nothing left in the spiritual cup. There's emptiness there. But wow, the metaphor, nothing left in the spiritual cup, is quite brilliant. One's the other. We left with the plan devised. Only a prayer was I giving. For days I heard the cries before my world became civil. Calmness cried when the demon awoke. No one knew the language he spoke. the details there are really great. Where that I watched as he laid claim to their souls with no sense in digging graveyard holes, had to stop him no matter the cost, not sure if any battle he had lost. My, oh my. And, you know, like at the end here, in a flash, branded him with the holy word as he faded away was angels we heard. And I don't know, I think I was waiting for something that would twist and make me laugh, but instead I'm feeling sad about the branded flash, and wondering too, was it an angel that we heard? So I like the direction that he took this in. But right back from the very beginning, though, I met the six-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. And that's from The Omen. And that emotionless face is a vivid image there. So he's taken us there, and I've had many fears, stood and fought them, not caring either was dying. And, you know, sometimes when you're standing there and you're trying to fight fear, you don't care. So that detail was spot on, too. But, like, you get the best laid plans because they had their plans devised there. But where is that? That part in the middle got me. The calmness cried when the demon awoke. My, oh, my. The dark edge here is vivid, and I think that it was a nice Halloween treat. And although you did a great job reading it, I was really looking forward to hearing Wayne read. And I just hate when our computers or the technicalities mess with us. Usually it's an issue with the station, but I'm definitely familiar with, like, you're in the middle of a show and your computer decides that it needs to update. And it's like, wait, I thought you were supposed to ask me if that was okay. But, yeah, anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. Really, really awesome poem, Wayne. Appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you writing. And, Dave, I appreciate you reading. What you think of the poem?
Oh, I thought it was pretty cool. I liked how he interspersed those lines, you know, the introduction. I met this six-year-old child with his blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I think that comes from Halloween, the movie Halloween. I think that was his psychiatrist, Donald Pleasance, talking to somebody else, a sheriff or something, I think. I could be wrong. I don't know, but I liked it. I like how he interspersed it, you know, into the poem that way. Wayne did a really good job with this. And like you said, Deb, I kind of was looking for a little humor because Wayne's famous for that, and it wasn't there. And I think that was good. And I like the way he wound it up. I came crawling on my hands and knees, made him feel safe as he stood at ease, in a flash branded him with the holy word as he faded away was angels we heard. I like the way you wound that up. So, anyway, it's a good job, Wayne.
Awesome comment, and thank you again for reading. And the last poetic comment of the night goes to you, Heather.
Yeah, I like that line. I spent 8 years trying to reach him and another 7 trying to keep him locked up. That's a great line. And throughout the poem, I got this, I mean, how long does it take you to be hearing the cries nobody else does before you have to go check it out? I mean, it's eventually everybody is going to, right? But I think that's an eerie thought. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was good to hear Wayne call in. Good to hear Wayne call back in. Yeah, very good.
He's been busy, so it was really nice to hear his voice. And like I said, David did a great job, but it would have been awesome to hear Wayne read. But next time,
But yeah. Okay, so we are at that part again. End of the show. But I thought I would mention that tomorrow night, excuse me, at 11 o'clock, I'm going to light up the studio, and I am going to play the Never Sleep Again, the Sleeping Beauty audio drama written by Weird Al Gonzo. It's approximately a one-hour audio once you put all the pieces together. And like there won't be any poems or anything. It's just going to be the entire show hearing it back-to-back, because when we presented it, it was one part each Saturday, all less than 5 minutes parts. So once you put all the parts together,
when's that? When's that? What day?
That's tomorrow at 11.
Tomorrow, okay.
I'll introduce it, and then I'll push play, and we will listen to the hour drama, and then I'll do the, you know, I'll say goodbye and whatnot, and then I have a little outro from him. But I'm looking forward to it, because it was nice to hear it in pieces each week as we built anticipation for the But as we built anticipation for the next part, it was fun, but now it'll be cool to be able to just sit back and hear the entire thing. And him and the others that worked with him did a brilliant job. So, you know, it'll be a great treat. And it just so happens that this week there's a national day for, believe it or not, audio dramas. So it was just perfect timing to do the presentation. So tomorrow night, Never Sleep Again by We Are All Gonzo and his crew. So that you have that to look forward to. And as I usually do right about now, I like to bring out the poems. I like to bring out my topic for next week so that everyone take a peek at it and maybe get a jump on. What day is this? So it's the 7th, huh? I was lost for a minute there. Okay. So next week.
Time warp.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Because you know why? Because I'm thrown off. It's Tuesday. It's not. And anyway, duh. The topic next week, is a double prompt. There's some really awesome fall art with bold, gorgeous colors. And in this particular one, because there are so many colors, I put the word bank in and have asked people to use as many as their little heart desires and just to tie the two prompts together. And I'm looking forward to that. Fill your poetry with lots of colors and dazzle me. And I am putting that on the chat wall right now so that everyone can take a look, click on it, and maybe jump on whichever art screams at you, and I will make sure to save that for you. And in the meantime, I want to thank my board members, Sweet, Heather, and AP. Don't want to ever do these without you. The three of you are that you rock. And Heather, thanks for being there. And David,
always.
I appreciate you hanging out all night and doing those extra reads for me. You're a doll. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Angel and Wayne and Crystal and Budo and Gerald and Alf and Frank and Titus and Linda and Sky. You're all amazing. It's my honor to get to hang out with you week after week after week. I'm just realizing that we are only a couple of months away from our fourth anniversary, and it just doesn't seem like it's possible that it could be 4 years already,
But that is a fact. And on that note, I would like to say love and respect to you all. And I am going to take us out in this, excuse me, in the same way that we started, with the brilliant instrumental played by Mr. David Prophet, Vampire Queen. Love and respect, and good night, everyone.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, guys.
Good night.
Appreciate you. Night.
Good night, Deborah.
Love and respect.